Well, this morning I'm going to be continuing our series in Unashamed. We'll be in a little bit of the Romans chapter 7, more on the second kind of portion of it. And I titled today's message, The Struggle is Real. And maybe some of you can relate to that in life. The struggle is real. And I wanted to open with a story about when I was struggling with something that hopefully will be helpful. We'll find out. But I got to preface it. When I'm going to talk about this story, I got to tell the story, then I'll just explain it because it's going to make more sense. We'll just go that route. All right, so a couple of years ago, I was in the market for looking for just a basic lawnmower to mow the yard with. I was really excited because we've been in an apartment for a while. The Lord answered our prayer. We were able to get our house, and we're so thankful. So now there's a yard to actually mow. And so I was looking for different lawnmowers, and I was looking for ones that were pretty affordable, so it was more on the lower end. And then as I was going online, I noticed that you could get these power lawnmowers, or you could get this push lawnmower that had no engine in it, but you could somehow cut the grass with it. And I was really excited about that, because I remember when I was growing up in Connecticut, I remember some of the neighbors had some very tiny yards, like you couldn't even fit a volleyball net in it, but they would have like these old school lawnmowers that looked like they just cut with no motor, and it looked so fun and relaxing. And so I was like, you know, I was like, Crystal, I think we might try to do this route. I'll make my yard slightly bigger than, 10 feet, but we could try it out. And so Crystal is just so loving, and she loves to support me even if I'm making dumb decisions. So I decided for me it was dumb. If it's for you, it works. That's great. But I bought it. And so it came, and I assembled it. It was pretty quick to assemble. And I was excited. It was a push lawnmower with no motor. It's just like a natural spinning thing. Eco, green. It's like, hey, this might be a good way not to use gasoline or oil. And so I figured, like, yeah, why not? The problem was my yard was slightly bigger than the recommendation, but I also kind of let the grass go to like 6 inches, which might have been a problem because they recommend not going that high. But, you know, I'm like, whatever. And so I get this whole thing assembled. I'll move this out of the way. And so Crystal's out there and my son Peter and Josh at the time. And I get this lawnmower. It's a push lawnmower. There's no motor to it. And I'm just like so excited to show my family how things are going to be done quietly. Green, it's going to be eco-friendly, and if this works for you, I'm not making fun of that, I'm just saying this is what happened from my experience. I tried so hard to mow about 10 feet of grass. I did running starts where I would run at it and then attack the mower, and that usually just went right here into my chest. I tried doing like the lean technique where you're kind of almost like going horizontal with the ground. I tried so many things for a solid 8 to 10 minutes. And then it was pretty clear I couldn't mow any of my grass. I probably would have been better off using scissors. I probably would have gotten a little bit further along. And so if you use this kind of lawnmower, I'm great, it works for you. Just was not the right one for me. And so my family was just watching. I was utterly defeated. All I knew was a struggle, and I had no accomplishments to show from it. So about 30 minutes to assemble, 10 minutes to fail, and then about 15 minutes to put it back in a box the best I could to return it, and I instantly bought a motorized lawnmower. Very quick turnaround. But I tell that story because sometimes in life we can just be struggling with things that feel like I'm putting so much effort, so much strength, so much power on my own, and my will was determined to mow, but I got absolutely nowhere with success in any of it. I was incredibly frustrated. I knew what I wanted to do, and I could not do it. I could not mow the yard, and that was my goal. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Romans 7, and Paul is having an experience that either he doesn't really share if it was before he knew Christ or during he knew Christ, or maybe it's just a hypothetical illustration, but just showing a struggle with wanting to pursue the things that God's laws commanding him to do, but finding that he keeps falling short. And I think if we had to be honest, I think in all our areas, there's probably areas, my life included, where we're wanting to follow Jesus, but there's the struggle, right? We're trying to get through, we're trying to go into what God's called us to be holy, and yet we can feel like maybe, like me with the lawnmower, you're going absolutely nowhere. Well, I want to talk about the struggle that is real for us, but I also want to talk about God's grace that is even more real. So let's look at Romans 7, verse 7 to 25 together. Paul says this, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known God. For I would not have known what is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced to me all kinds of covetousness." It's like, you ever see the thing where it's like, don't push the red button? And all you want to do is push that red button, right? It's like, I want to hit it. That's what Paul said when it came to coveting. He's finding he's even coveting more. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me, for sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And just take a moment there. So what he's sharing now, he's trying to make very clear that God's word, God's law specifically, is not something bad. It's actually something good. But that sin within us, when it approaches the law, it shows that, wow, we got issues going on. One of the best examples I heard about this so far was like if you ever gotten an x-ray before and it's shown that maybe you have like a fractured bone or something. I'm sure some of you have done this before. The x-ray is not the bad thing, right? It's just letting you know that there's something inside that needs to get fixed. And that's the law of God, essentially what Paul's saying, that it's showing that there's things in our life that don't line up. We can't just blame the law. There's actually stuff within us, sin specifically, that we desperately need freedom and deliverance from. Verse 13, did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me, though what is good in order that sin might be shown to be sin. And through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a flesh sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not, here we go. I'm going to try to do this the best I can. For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. And maybe some of us can relate to that, right? Not doing the thing you want to do, you do the thing you hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. How frustrating is that? For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. Woo! That is a tongue twister. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God. I'm hoping some of us or all of us were delighting in the law of God. I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. So glad Paul doesn't just stop with that statement. He continues. He says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this word. Thank you for Paul and just guiding him through your spirit to share this with us today. And God, I thank you that all of us probably struggle with different things, but God, you are our hope to find freedom, find victory in places that feel like a battleground in our own personal lives. And God, I'm praying that we can see some victories here, some freedom, Lord, in the name of Jesus, even this morning. And in your name, amen. So I want to talk just briefly about a couple of things about this struggle that feels often so real. And oftentimes, when we have struggles, especially for those who are following after Christ, we can feel pretty shameful or maybe just down a lot, right? And these are usually the kind of struggles. If you have a struggle that you're like, I know Christ, and I'm like still falling in the same area, oftentimes we can want to keep it kind of on the DL, meaning like we don't want anyone else to know. Like, meaning if we go to church, we're just going to make sure we smile, say the right things, look people in the eye. But inside we might think, man, I'm struggling all week with maybe something that, Lord, I need some victory and some help in. And that's a beautiful thing. Paul, even in stating this, was like, he tried so hard on his own. But when he surrendered to Jesus, there's hope. And there's still hope for us today. Amen? Jesus is our hope. So here's a couple observations from this text. So in our struggle, Paul's making it clear that it's not against the law. Like I mentioned earlier, the law is good, but against sin. And he's refuting specifically the idea that we struggle against only certain sins. And sometimes we can even believe that today. That maybe there's only certain sins I struggle with, which means there's opportunity then that I'm not really a sinner who needs Jesus. I just have a couple broken pieces that need to be addressed. But I think as Harvey Smith so shared so well last week, I got to watch it online, we're all sinners, right, who have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in need of Jesus, amen? All of us. So this idea that, well, there's a couple sins, and usually like we have to pick your favorites, right? You get your favorite sins. Like it's not, our favorite ones are always the ones we diminish. Like, this one's not such a big deal. Gossiping's not really hurtful. I almost prayed about it. I just ended up talking to someone for 2 hours, but I almost prayed. You know what I mean? Or lying or cheating or stealing, whatever. We can often limit certain kinds of sins, but Paul's making it very clear. It's not certain sins that's the issue. The issue is that we have sin inside of us. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And hence why we just rejoice even more and more for Jesus setting us free from our sin. So our struggle is not against the law, but against sin. Sin that dwells inside of us, that apart from Jesus, we can have no victory over. But thank God for Jesus. So our struggle, not against the law, but against sin. The second thing is our struggle for all of us, that we're all sinners in need of grace. This refutes the idea, and I kind of alluded to this already, but that none of us are inherently good on our own, which is really kind of, you know, upsetting if you're thinking, like, I can just make it on my own. I'm good enough, you know, to live a life that's worthy to have God's praise all by myself, which sounds so good, but biblically is untrue. That even if we fault in one area, we still can't make it to the mark that Jesus has asked us to live up to according to his commandments, according to his law. But thank God for Jesus. In our struggle, we are unable to be holy by keeping the law. So Paul's once again making the point that if you're just looking at trying to do amount of right things and do a little bit of like the less of the wrong things, it's still not enough to be holy, or the other word for that is sanctified. Sanctification cannot be earned by just adhering to the law. During Jesus' days, there was a lot of religious leaders that they tried not only to live up to the ceremonial law, the moral law, and temple law, but they also added more laws on top of that, and they were really, really excited to have outward religiosity and holiness. But Jesus oftentimes would refute the most religious people because inside of them, they would live two different lives. On the outside, one that looked so, so good. And people would clap in the streets as they had their long-winded prayers and gave to the poor. But yet, their hearts were like kind of like dead tombs. They were not living it out from the inside out. They were trying to be holy by keeping a law that because of sin, none of us could keep. And because of that, they had kind of like a false dichotomy of living one way on the outside, while on the inside, they lived in a place of brokenness, hurt, and pain. If those religious leaders were honest, they would say the struggle is quite real in their life, and they desperately need help. And some of them did, and they did follow Jesus. And in our struggle, willpower is not enough. And this is so, so humbling to think that in our pursuit of following after God and obeying his law, that our will is not enough to be able to overcome our sinful desires. And if anyone's stuck right now in a place of sin or addiction, you don't have to say anything, but if we had to be honest, I think we would just be like, amen from our hearts. A place to just over, like, God, I want to be out of this addiction. God, I want to be free. I want to be able to live my life completely for you, but I keep relapsing and falling back into this sin over and over and over and over again. Lord, I can't do it on my own. It's one of the most humbling things we possibly can get to, and sometimes there's a process for us to get there. If we run our own life on pride and decide that I'm strong enough, I'm powerful enough, I have the will to determine to seek my own righteousness apart from Jesus, God's so merciful and loving, he'll let us do our own way. But as Scripture's saying, that's not the way you receive the grace of God. That's the way we run from it. But when we pause and we come to a place of realizing, God, I can't do it on my strength. I can't do it on my will or by my power. God, I surrender. That's the opportunity for God's grace to start working in us and through us. As Paul said, what a wretched man that I am. And he said, who will deliver me from the body of death? And verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, he is the solution to all our problems and the earthly problems on this planet. Amen? It's Jesus. It's always Jesus. If we're trying to solve a Jesus problem or a Jesus-sized problem with a different kind of solution, we'll always fall short. Hence why we can easily go from one addiction to another addiction to another addiction and call them healthy coping mechanisms, but not find the healing that Jesus offers only through the grace that he freely gives. The neat thing about this is I don't want to condemn anyone. I just want to give people hope that if you're in a place of brokenness this morning, online or in person, you can receive that grace today. You can receive that forgiveness actually right now. You can ask the Lord, God, I've been trying to do this on my own, and you're not actually informing him of anything new. He actually knows what you're going to say before even a word's on your tongue. So he's aware of your situation. But when we come to the place of God, I've gone it my own way. I did it my own way. Lord, forgive me. I need your grace working through me, your strength. God, I feel incredibly weak. But in weakness, Scripture says, that is when Christ is made strong in us. So being in a weak place is actually a powerful place when we let Jesus reign in that place. And we can do that this morning. So I want to shift from talking about the sin and the law just for a moment to a place that maybe we could apply this together as I'll be wrapping up shortly. So I was thinking about just the sin and the struggle, kind of like the lawnmower, which I know isn't the perfect illustration, but I was just struggling so, so hard. I felt so defeated. But man, when I had that motor, that power motor, lawnmower, man, game changing. I know this isn't a perfect illustration, but there's something when Christ is in you and his spirit, his Holy Spirit is working within you. Man, you got a power source that's greater than any little tiny lawnmower, you know, power. This is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Scripture says that lives inside of you and me. If we truly believe that, then there's no sin, no obstacle that we are facing right now today that is greater than the power of God working through us if we let it. Amen? I hope you believe that this morning, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So instead of saying, God, I can't make it on my own, just admit, God, I can't make it on my own, but your power's in me. God, would I be fueled by your strength through your glory to overcome in this area? We don't have to do this alone. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus talked about those following him having burdens and just feeling overladen. And if you've been in a place of addiction and struggle, I think saying you feel burdened or overladen fits quite well. But I love this invitation that Jesus said. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Whew, just like laden down. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in Paul's example, he's just specifically talking about struggling with sin and wanting to pursue what the law has. In this example, you could definitely take it a little bit broader than that, talking about maybe pursuing what God wants you to do, maybe you're not in a place of sin, but you're just feeling burdened down so heavy because maybe we're doing it on our own. This passage, honestly, is one I've been really looking at for my own personal life for probably the last like 4 weeks, and I found it incredibly helpful because Jesus said this, and if you take Jesus' word seriously, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's definitely a season where I was just feeling recently, this doesn't feel easy and it doesn't feel light. And then I had this epiphany moment. If it doesn't feel easy and it doesn't feel light, then obviously I'm doing something wrong, right? Because if Jesus says the invitation is that, hey, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, am I yoked with Jesus? You know, I don't know how that would look, but if I was here and had a yoke on and Jesus was here and I was learning from Jesus, am I yoked with Jesus or am I just yoked by myself trying to pull a load I can't move, struggling with all the willpower and gut and grit I have and failing over and over? And the invitation Jesus says, whew, you can rest. You can slow down. If you're a Christ follower, you're yoked with me. You can come with that labor and feeling heavy laden, and his invitation is to give you rest. And once again, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If we're yoked with Jesus, man, that's yoked with the creator of the universe. That's pretty encouraging, right? We can move into any difficulty, any opposition, anything that God's asking us to go into. And the thing is, sometimes we always assume that Jesus is just moving at a relentless pace, because for some of us, we move at a relentless pace, and we just assume Jesus is doing that too. But to be honest, Jesus might just be saying, we need to stop moving. The yoke is not going anywhere. We're just going to learn from Jesus and stop. For others of us, we've been sitting for maybe a little too long, and Jesus is trying to get us moving. There's some new ground, some new areas, some new places we want to grow in maturity towards Christ. We need to start moving in that. Either side's wrong. If we're running ahead of Jesus and try to do it on our own, we'll burn out. Or if we're just kind of sitting, you know, I'm not going to do anything for Jesus, but I'm just going to sit here, realizing that the invitation is his burden, the burden will be light. or the yoke will be easy and the burden will be light when we give it to the Lord. And so I want to take this invitation from Matthew, this is from Jesus, and just have a moment just to receive from the Lord. And maybe as I've been talking this morning, you might be thinking, there's some areas in your life, whether it's a sin area, that you're realizing, Jesus, I need you in this area. I've been trying to do it on my own, and I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm praying that there'll be breakthrough for you this morning, whether you're here in person or online. And maybe for others, it's not a sin area that God's calling you to go into something new, but you're doing it on your own, and you're not doing it with Jesus, and you're just finding yourself to be burned out and broken, and your life's not defined by moments of rest, but stress and restlessness and rushing and driving forward, but not a lot of peaceful prairies and still water moments, you know, like a good shepherd taking his sheep, just invite them to slow down and just be with our Heavenly Father. So let's take a moment to pray. I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time so we get there ready to respond in a moment with praise and worship. But let's take a moment just to spend with the Lord. And I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord does. And so we can just talk to him. So we're going to take a minute or so just to quiet ourselves and invite the Lord just to work in your life. Maybe he's shown you something already, or maybe right now he will. And ask the Lord what he might want you to receive from him today. Not something that you have to work for, but something you need to receive, something I need to receive, we need to receive. So let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you're asking us this morning to receive from you. Not to try harder, not to will harder, power through harder, but just to rest in you. And God, as we take a moment to be silent, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? God, I pray that distractions would not be just taking our mind and hearts elsewhere, but we could just focus in to hear your Holy Spirit, that small whisper that can change our life in this moment. So let's take about a minute. We'll just be quiet, and then I'll just wrap up in prayer. Lord, I just thank you. God, thank you for your grace. And as we're still in a place of prayer, you don't have to stand up or sign up for anything, but if you're in a place this morning, you're realizing that I just need a fresh move of God's grace in my life, whether it's freedom from addiction or sin or maybe just moving into something with him. And as a place of prayer, if you're here in the building, if you want to just raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you, not by name, but just raise your hand if you're a place, I need you, God. I've been doing something on my own, whether it's for you or trying to overcome something that is struggling. Just raise your hand for a moment. Just want to see if you're a place of, I really just want to receive God's grace in a specific area this morning. Okay. And I'm sure I've seen hands all in each section and in the back and all over. You can put your hands down. For those who are home, you also can be a place, whether you're by yourself or watching, just God, if you're in a place I need to receive, surrender is a place where that begins. So I just want to pray for you. My hand's up as well. Heavenly Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters, both here in the building, myself included. God, in places that we just need to receive grace, that we're not fueled by our own grit, but God, we're fueled by grace, your strength, your power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for sin that we've been maybe so easily entangled in this last week. God, I pray that it would just fall off us in the name of Jesus, God, as we surrender to you. God, I pray for places where there's tired individuals, tired marriages or families, God, right now, that just need to receive grace to keep pursuing you with joy, laughter, peace, and hope, God, that just comes from knowing you. God, I pray for grace. God, just thank you that the greatest things we can ever, ever get in life is not something we do, but something that we get to receive from you. Help us, God, to receive that, to cherish that, and to share that this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.